So we're going to be reading in 1 Corinthians 2, is where we're going to start. And then we will be going to Isaiah 40 and reading some in both of those. So 1 Corinthians 2 will be in verse 6, is where we'll start. We're going to read through quite a bit of scripture today and piece these two parts together and then just talk about what it means for us. So let's pray. God, thank you for truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for family. Thank you for Elizabeth, God, and new life. God, thank you for just connections and relationship and for this time and this space. God, thank you for worship, that we get to honor you, that we get to be washed in truth and in the reality of who you are. God, thank you that we get to be in your presence. God, that we get to pursue you together in family and community. God, we thank you for the people who aren't feeling well, God, that are a part of us and aren't able to be here. I just pray for strength for their bodies and healing, Lord God, and all the people who are just dealing with different sicknesses. And God, that you would strengthen all of our bodies, our immune systems. And God, we thank you for, speaking of that, we thank you just for who you are in our lives, Lord. For what you're doing in all of our hearts, the way that you grow us into the people you designed for us to be. God, we thank you for your patience with our process and the journeys that we're on. We thank you for your strength that you provide for us. We thank you for the air that we breathe. And God, we thank you for the rains that feed our plants, Lord. And God, we thank you for the snow up in the mountains and that it's only up in the mountains right now. We thank you for that. God, we thank you just for who you are, your amazing world that you created, and the amazing ability that we have to be connected with you, to be loved by you, to love you. God, we're so grateful for who you are. Amen. 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 I've been reading through 1 Corinthians just slowly, just section by section the last few weeks, and this morning when I was preparing for what to talk about, I was just kind of flipping back through and went to this section on wisdom and wisdom from God. And so what I want to be piecing together today is wisdom, power of the Holy Spirit, and our connection with Him, and then what that looks like in our lives today. So when we're reading through things, I'm going to stop a little bit and discuss. And then at the end, I want us just to be thinking about how is the Holy Spirit connecting with us? How is the Holy Spirit in our lives revealing truth, revealing who God is, and to make it personal? A lot of times we can read scripture and it feels really distant, it feels far away, it feels like a whole other world, because when it was written was a whole other world than we're in. But the truths are still active and present today in our lives. And so my prayer is that through this, wherever you are in your journey, in your process, that there's hope that comes from this. So I want to start reading in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, there is wisdom that we continually speak of when we're among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in the present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is His secret plan, destined before the ages, to bring us into glory. And glory is the splendor, the beauty, the majesty of God. And we are brought into that. We're brought into that beauty. And that's what God designed for us, to be able to be a part of that. None of the rulers of this present world order understood it. For if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Before we move on, I want to read that again. Things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his spirit, the spirit of God. Have you ever felt just like for yourself that you don't really understand fully what's going on inside of you? You know, like just understanding yourself is hard, but our spirits do understand. And because our spirits are connected to his spirit, he helps to unveil those things that are in our hearts. And I think that's what's really powerful about walking with him. It's not about our own understanding, trying to figure ourselves out. It's really about revelation from him, about who he is and what he says about us and what's going on deep. Verse 12. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. I'm going to say that again. So we might come to understand and experience all the grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. The Spirit is the one that gives us language for what's going on in the spiritual. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He cannot understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For, who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. So I want to break this down a little bit. For us, in where we are in our lives, wherever you are, in your process and in your journey, if you have said yes to him, and even if that yes is small, it doesn't matter the size of the yes, it doesn't matter what you're seeing on the outside and how you're living, if there is a yes there, you are connected to his spirit. You have his spirit. Thus, he is able to reveal what's going on in your heart. He's able to bring clarity to the confusion that we feel inside of our hearts. I've experienced it. A lot of you have experienced that in this room, how God unveils and reveals you, how he shows what's going on. We in that have a decision to make when things are unveiled. We can hide away in shame, or we can pursue him and change. Right? Those are really our options. We can either flee away from it because we're like, no, I don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, hey, I know you're good. I know that what you're revealing about what's going on in my spirit, you have a desire to help me be healthier. And I know that you have good in store for me. And I think what's happening with a lot of people that I know, myself personally, is that a lot of people are almost surrendering to not being able to figure it out and not being able to grow. And I think there's this stunting for some people, and I'm not saying that they're not making progress, I'm not saying everybody's stuck, but there's this kind of sometimes this surrendering of like, oh, I don't know if I can really get past this, or I don't know if I can get through this, or I don't know if I'm strong enough for this. I don't know if anybody's ever felt that way, but it's easy to, and maybe in a season you're like, oh, I feel great right now, and then we get to a season where we feel stuck. And then we get to a season where we're like, oh, you know, I feel really strong and I'm moving forward. And you get to a season where you're like, ugh, this feels really crappy, right? And the reality is his strength never leaves, right? His wisdom is always there. His unveiling of truth it's always taking place. Because of Jesus, because of our connection with Christ, we get to have access to truth. The problem is that sometimes we don't know how to acknowledge that truth and recognize it because of things that might be clouding us and clouding our minds. So I want to skip to Isaiah now, in Isaiah 40. In Isaiah, we're going to start, I promise this is going to come together. Isaiah 40, verse 12 through 31. So the scripture that said in 1 Corinthians, that said, who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? That is taken from Isaiah. And so that's why I'm going to Isaiah. Paul, writing 1 Corinthians, references Isaiah 40. So starting in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? So that's the verse that it came from. Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes of the coastlines like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. Some of this stuff, it sounds a little bit hard to understand how he's referencing things. Isaiah is saying God is bigger than us. So, and there's a point as we get further on in this. To whom then will you liken God? So who you compare him to? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? And I want you to really listen in here. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths fall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As an encouragement to all of us, in wherever we are in our process, in our journey, God is either who he says he is, or he's not. He's either bigger than we are, or he's just another God, like all the other ones that are out there. And us sitting here, we're acknowledging that God is good, or we wouldn't be here. There's something drawing us to this space, to worship. We could be doing other things with our time, right? So we recognize there's something special about God. Above all other gods that people worship, right? Above all other things, there's something about the creator of the universe, right? And, I mean, the Greeks and the Romans had gods, for everything. God of war and Zeus, and they had God of love and all these different things. We know that there is one God. Right? We know that there's a God who created us for love and for relationship. If it says in this that he can give us strength when we're weary, that he can bring strength to our weary hearts, why don't we believe him? And this is a challenge for me as well as for you. But whatever we're going through, it says earlier in this, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Why do you say this? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. saying, like, God doesn't really care. God doesn't really see. God doesn't really care about me, right? And speaking this, a lot of us know the right things to say, right? If somebody asked us, like, you know, who is God? What is he capable of doing? We have the answers. Like, we can speak the answers. We have an understanding, right? But it has to go deeper than our intellect. It has to go to an assurance and a trust in him, in who he is. If it doesn't bypass just this knowledge, then it is just surface knowledge, right? It has to go deeper. And the only possible way for our understanding to go deeper is that it has to bypass just our intellect because of the Holy Spirit and bring it to a spiritual level. Because if not, I can reason myself out of anything, right? I can convince myself that he's not real. I can, right? I can go through life and be like, oh, this, or I can use, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with science. I really believe that God brings science together. But we can reason ourselves out using science and evidence that we see. We can. We can look at our circumstances and say, oh, look, because of A, B, C, and D, God isn't as good as he said he is because I'm going through these things. Who has their mind? Tell them these kind of things. And you have these thoughts. We all do, right? You can't be void of having thoughts of trying to pick things apart. We want understanding. But our human understanding is insufficient. It's not enough. You're not going to understand him just by reasoning things out and trying to think through it. It has to be something deeper. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals his truths and connects them with our spirit so that we actually understand on a deeper level. A lot of, you know, before Jesus, people are like, oh, the mysteries of God that will be unveiled. Jesus unveiled them. He unveiled God's grace. He unveiled his goodness in a brand new way for everyone to see, right? There was a deep connection, a deep relationship, a desire for people and communion. And we can hear these things and we can feel things in our lives and get into another season where we start to think that it wasn't true. That things that we experienced in the past weren't real. Or this draw that we have towards him, oh, it's just me. Right? We can reason ourselves out of things, and I want to caution you to pursue something deeper with your spirit. And it may, most of the time, really, it's not going to make sense to our intellect. That God would choose me in all the mess that I have and desire me makes no sense. It doesn't. If he relied strictly on humans to, like, accomplish some big plan, well, he's chosen a losing battle because we're messy, right? We're not going to do it perfect. We are going to make mistakes. Logically, to rely on us to help to spread his word, to love other people, to rely on us to be his love to other people doesn't make sense. Does it? I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. You know, if he's desiring to flow through us love, to flow through imperfect people and to love others, it doesn't make sense. Logically, there would be a better way to do it. You know, like, I don't know, going back to Cupid and the darts. You know, like, something like that. Like, just shoot him with love. You know, like, that would hit. Like, that seems a little bit more, like, direct, and it would, like, be effective if that was possible, right? He decides to do things that don't make sense to our minds. He decides to use us. He decides to love us. He decides to have relationship with us, and I don't fully understand it. I'm going to challenge you to go beyond just what you can reason out in your mind, just what makes sense to you, because we are feeble in our understanding. We are weak in our ability to reason things out and to really fully understand. That's why he gave us a spirit. My spirit can help me understand what's actually going on inside of me. I went with my mom to breakfast. When did we go? Friday. We went to breakfast Friday morning. And prior to that, it was really crazy because I got several messages from people that I'm close with. One, it was February 1st, and then two within a couple days of each other. And for some reason, there was something about these messages that were challenging for me. And they were all encouraging. Like, they're all, like, great. They're like, hey, you've been such a great friend. Like, I'm so grateful for you in my life. And the other one's like, hey, you're a great friend. And the other one's like, thank you for the part that you've played in my life. And I was like, there was something there that I couldn't receive that. I was like, okay. I didn't know how to respond. And so one of the messages, I didn't respond for several weeks. I was like, I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know why there was a block there. I really didn't. I didn't know why I was having an aversion to being told that I was a good friend. And so I'm sitting there and I'm trying to process through these, and I decide, okay, I'm finally going to message and be real with one of the friends that had messaged me. So I'm sitting down with my mom, and we're having breakfast, and she had shared some stuff, and then I started sharing my heart, and I start reading these messages, and I just start crying. And something is unveiled in this moment of crying that I have felt, and it's been a lot of my life, but it kind of comes in seasons, that I haven't done it well enough, so I shouldn't be called good. Does that make sense? Like, to me, it wasn't the standard that I would say would make me a good friend, right? And yet, that's the words that they were using. And for some reason, I was having this blockage. And so as we're processing and as I'm sharing and as we're talking, I felt like God was revealing lies that I was starting to believe. And one of the things that my mom said, she says, it sounds like you're saying, like, perfect. That you feel like you need to be perfect in what you're doing. And if it's not perfect, then it's not enough. Okay, so this is just something for me. In my head, I couldn't figure out why, right? It really had to be a spiritual thing to say, like, whoa, there's a lie that you're believing. There's something that needs to be released here. And in that moment, and just like being able to process it, have a safe place, and to cry about it and be like, I don't know why, but I don't feel like this is truth for me. But God knew exactly what I needed, and I didn't even know that I needed that, right? And so he was speaking those little things to my heart from three different people, one in Florida, one in Vermont, one in Uganda, right? And all saying similar things from a different direction. And I was like, okay. And for me, I often, one of the things that my mom and I were processing is, I have a tendency, and I'm recognizing this, it just is, I have a tendency to start to feel overwhelmed with all the need in the world, and I start to shut down. And it's just something that I kind of go through these phases, and I don't recognize that I'm shutting down, but I start shutting down because I don't feel like I can do enough to really make the world a better place, and so I just start to numb and kind of close off. Doesn't mean like I stop connecting with people and like all that stuff, but I start to shut down. And in this, there was a revelation that took place that it's like, okay, my mom said, you're one person. And that's okay. Like, you're one person, right? You're just one person. And I love one of the things that she said, God is huge inside of me. He is huge inside of all of us. And I don't feel like he can be huge through me. Right? I feel like there's all this stuff that God cares about. There's all these, like, injustices. There's all this, like, reaching different people. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't do it all. You know, like, I can't reach everybody. I can't love everybody. I can't do this perfect. And I start to, like, backtrack. I'm not saying this has to be, like, your story. I'm just saying, like, going through this, and as we're sitting, I couldn't reason myself out of this. It had to be something that his spirit was going to reveal truths that were happening inside of me. Where was I? What was actually impacting this? What was happening deeper inside of me, right? We all have access to truth. We all have access to the Holy Spirit who is present in our lives to unveil what's going on in a deeper level. What a blessing. But this is what happens, and I wrote this down because this is, for me, sometimes why it's hard. I have this aversion sometimes spending time with God when I know something's going on inside of me. Because I don't really want to know what's going on inside of me. You know, like, I'm a little bit afraid of it. I know God's bigger than it, but I'm afraid of it. You know, and I'm just like, I don't want to feel more shitty about myself than I do right now. So I'm just not going to face that there's some of that stuff there, right? So this is what I wrote. The Holy Spirit reveals our hearts not to induce shame, but to bring about change. God never wants us to feel shame. That is not how he does things. But what a blessing that things are unveiled and we actually get to make a choice. Because when you're not aware, You can't change anything. Right? And who is going to be our strength when we're weary? He is. I don't have to be the strength for me to get through the stuff that I'm dealing with. He's going to be the strength that's going to help me get through. I was talking with Mike and Bethany yesterday. It's been a while. I don't think I've talked to Mike and Bethany. They're friends of ours that live in Vermont that used to be a part of our community. And they did say, to tell you all, they love you, and they seriously miss community here. Like, they are, just an aside, like, they really are trying to find community, and they are struggling. Like, they really, like, this is home. This is family for them. And they think about us often, and there's not, like, a day that goes by that they're like, oh, you know, that there was goodness there. Anyway, they love you all. As we were talking, though, this idea that as God unveils things, oftentimes we want to retract from it because we feel overwhelmed by the truths that are being unveiled. And as we were processing, I don't remember who it was, but somebody had said in the conversation, like, God started doing stuff in my heart, and I felt like I took two steps back in my life. And I, as I was listening to him, I said, what if we can reframe that? Right? What if you didn't take two steps back? What if what you actually happened is you actually unveiled what actually just was happening? And you felt like now that you had revelation of it, now that you saw where you were, you thought that you were actually stepping back, but now it was just actually being revealed. It just was showing what was. Once we know what is, we can actually choose something different. If you're not aware of something and something being bad for you, you're not going to change it, right? Bethany brought up something. We were talking about all of these things working together. Like, God is my strength, and yet I have to make choices and do something, right? And his forgiveness is enough for me, and his grace is enough, and I'm a part of that process, right? And then God chooses to flow through me, and I can only be loved because I love him. Like, there's all these different pieces, right? We could go on and on how complicated it is. It's a symphony. The whole thing is a symphony. That's what Bethany brought up. She said, it's a beautiful symphony. And when it's all working well, the music is harmonious. But when one of these little parts start to get off in our understanding, it makes things, it starts to unravel stuff and make it into chaos when things get off. And that's why with the Holy Spirit, he's checking these understandings constantly, right? He's helping us. He's bringing back revelation. We talk about a lot of the same things. Why? Because we need to hear about the same things over and over to actually grasp and hold on to that. If you heard truth about some of these things one time, and you're like, the rest of my life, I'm great. Our minds are weird, and they do. Our intellect starts to talk us out of things, and we realize that we're somewhere that we never meant to be. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and he's like, oh, let's talk about that again. Let's talk about joy again. What was that definition that I gave you? Let's talk about peace. Peace is wholeness. It's all parts working together. And when those parts aren't working together in who we are and the reality of who he is and the truths of all these different pieces, we get off. Our lives get off. In Isaiah, either this is true or it's not true, right? We can't just take bits and pieces. He says, have you not known, in verse 28, have you not heard the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. Right? He's not tired like I am. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's better for us. We all have the ability to step into better because of who he is inside of us, because we have his spirit, right? That unveils things not to bring shame, to say, hey, let's recognize that this is here, so that now together we can walk it out better. We can change. And when we look at all of it, I get overwhelmed and sometimes look at it all and like, I don't know how to change it. But that's why the Holy Spirit's there, and he's like, hey, let's deal with this. Let's put this aside for a little bit, what you're thinking. Let's deal with this right here and make some changes. Now let's move on to this. Now let's move on to this. right? And he continues to come at different angles with different people. I need people in my life that help to be also a voice for God. In Revelation, sitting down with my mom in that moment revealed things that I couldn't bring language to in that, and I didn't honestly know that I needed. I just felt this desire to start, like, you know, sharing. And as I start reading, we're sitting in a restaurant and I just start crying. And I'm not someone that's like quick to crying. There was just something deep there. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. And then I just started processing. And there were some beautiful truths that she was able to bring because we cannot do this alone. Right? And that's another thing that gets things off kilter. When all those parts aren't working together, we're going to go into, there's a word I'm trying to, chaos isn't quite the word that, like, things fall apart. If you think about two relationships, let's say a marriage relationship. I've never been married. I'm just speaking of things that I've heard from other people. You are either growing closer to your mate or further apart. There is no middle ground. I've heard this from many people who counsel marriage partners. You're either growing together or you're growing apart. You can never just do this and go in a straight line. It doesn't happen. In our lives, we are either going more to health and closer to Jesus or further away. You cannot just maintain and coast. And I think we get to a place like, oh, things are feeling good, and we start to just coast. But it is a constant pushing in. It's a constant allowing him to unveil things in our hearts. It's a constant not to beat ourselves up, to say, hey, I am a constant work in progress, and this is going to be the rest of my life. I will be human the rest of my life here on earth. Right? Like, I am going to be human the rest of my life here on earth, and that is messy. And so there's this grace, and I think I think, Mom, you said that. Like, there's this grace for where we are in our lives. You know, for me, like, throughout this year, it's been a strange year. It's unveiled things, but it's been a strange year. And let me go back. I was talking to Mike, and one of the things he brought up, he's like, that's why, like, encounter is so amazing. Like, these encounter weekends we do. But we were talking, we're like, that doesn't fix everything. Right? Yeah. It's this process that we continue going. We continue pushing in. And for me, I know when I don't know if it's even back away, when I just start to be like, oh, I'm just kind of going through life and I'm not pressing into God, after some time, things don't feel great anymore. You know, I just feel off. When I'm pushing into Him, when I'm doing this, when I'm having conversations, Micah, Bethany, and I, like, they were driving home from her parents. We talked for 2 hours on the phone. And just this excitement of, like, and all of us are dealing with things. But the excitement of hearing somebody else and sharing with somebody else and building upon that, I left just feeling rejuvenated. Like, there was a life in it, right? So we have the Holy Spirit who reveals things. Reveals our spirits and what's happening. Reveals God's heart. In the scripture that I read, I'm not going to remember exactly where it was. Let's see, verse 14 in Isaiah. Said, whom did he consult, meaning God, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge? Like, God knows justice better than we ever will, right? He knows what is just, right? He is the only one that is able to actually judge things. He's able to unveil things. He's able to point out for us, hey, this isn't good for you. I judge this as wrong. Not judging for condemnation, but being able to recognize something, saying that's off, right? The reason that we are able to recognize things that are unjust. Okay, things that are unjust, all those things, all those words, whatever they are, is because it's his heart, right? He recognizes when things are off and they're not right. But the way that he comes into them, especially because of Jesus now, is through love and grace and saying there's better for you, there's better for me, there's a way to work through this and I will be your strength, but you got to walk with me. Right? It's I do, and yet it's his strength so that I can. but we have to do. And Mike said, he's like, yeah, I can't just eat cookies my entire life and expect to be healthy in my body.
Dang it.
I know, it's sad, but your body will starve. Your body will starve to death. There are things that we can't do physically, the same thing there are things we can't do spiritually, right? That are impacting us and how we're facing this life and how we're walking through it. What a blessing that the Holy Spirit unveils things. And though it's not comfortable, growth in Him and change for the better is always worth it. Right? You would think after 39 years, I feel like walking this, you know, sometimes I go through seasons of like quicker to recognize things and like take it to God. And this year, I just feel like it's taken me longer, you know, in certain seasons. And there's grace for that. I'm like, it just is. It just is. But I told, when I was talking to Mike and Bethany, I said, but you know what? We're killing it. I said, because guess what? We're still here. And we're still showing up. And we're still pushing into Him. Even if it's hard. And even if maybe the last few months felt really crappy, we're still here. We're in it. We're in the game. You showing up here is success. Because I'm sure some of you in your heads were like, oh, I have a lot of reasons why I can't go today. Right? I did. No, just kidding. just kidding. We can find other things to do, but showing up is success. And we don't acknowledge it as that. We want these huge things to happen. As I was talking with my mom, another thing came back to my mind of, it is the day-to-day little choices that make us who we are. It is not the giant things that happen in our lives. It's not the marriages and the buying the new home and having a child. Though those are all big things, those are not what make us who we are. It's our daily choices. Every single day we have choices, and it's those choices that make us into who we are. It's not, I mean, I know that trauma has an influence. I'm not discounting that, but that's not what makes us into who we are. It's our day-to-day choices, the little things that happen in our lives that make us into who we are. How are we going to confront or face the things that are going on in our lives? How are we going to choose something better? Or are we not going to choose something better? How are we going to step into health and wholeness? Or how are we not going to step into health and wholeness? Right? And I love that when it's saying like Him unveiling His mysteries to the ones, let me go back. I hope this is connecting. When I teach, like honestly, like it has to come from what's going on with my life, because that's the only thing that I feel like I have, passion in. Not just because it's all about me, but that's just what's real in my life right now. Things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all His lovers. There are things in store for each of you in your lives that you could never imagine. There are things in store for you that you have not discovered and you've never heard before. There are truths about who you are and things that God desires for you to do that you have never even heard about, that God has for us, right? For His lovers. So, yeah. I want to open it for discussion, but I want to pray before we talk and just kind of what this connects with for you and where you're at. God, I pray right now for our spirits to be alive and awakened to the communication that they have with Your Spirit. That our spirits would be able to hear, to perceive, to bring to our understanding what's going on a spiritual level. Holy Spirit, thank You that You are here in each of our lives. Thank You that You are present. Thank You that You are enough. Thank You that it's Your strength, God, that flows through our bodies, that strengthens us when we're weak. You never grow weary. You never faint. What we are dealing with in our lives is never too much for You. And I thank You that Holy Spirit, You unveil things in our hearts, not to bring about shame, but to bring about change. And I pray for all of us that we will continue to say yes. We will continue to show up in relationships here,
in our lives, Lord, relationship with you, pursuing health and wholeness, and making choices every day to follow and pursue who you created us to be. God, you love us, and you have things to unveil for all of us in all of our lives, truths that you want us to understand, things that we don't comprehend right now. And God, I thank you for our intellect. I thank you for our ability to think and process. But God, I pray that we would look deeper than just that. Father God, that we would be able to connect with you deeper in a spiritual way, more and more every day, to be able to pursue you and what you have for all of us. I love you, God. And I thank you that you don't leave us how we are. And I thank you that your grace is sufficient, that you are patient with our process, and you lovingly and yet firmly continue to walk us into health and wholeness every single day, because you love us. Because your best for us is truly the best for us. And we desire that, Lord. Amen.